It will remain open tomorrow. Campus will remain open. Campus, of course, very near to what to the scene of what happened tonight. We do have two important cancellations to tell you about. Tomorrow's Minnesota Twins game, which is a day game, has been canceled. Now, there was also going to be, following that game, the groundbreaking ceremony for the new Twin Stadium. That was to start at 5 p.m. That, too, has been canceled. Postponed is probably the correct word for that. We'll bring you further information on that as we get it in.
Well, all right, this is Babe Thompson here at the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. It is now 12 midnight, and we are giving you an update here, kind of summarizing some things for you about every half hour or more often as we need to through the evening. As I indicated before, we are going to stay live with Channel 5 here on the talk station, along with my periodic updates, and we'll keep you going on whatever you may need to know. Now, I think that as far as what we as fellow citizens here can do to try to ease the pain of this thing, frankly, the best thing we can do is stay out of the way. And so I'm going to give you repeatedly here Kenny Olson's alternatives for tomorrow and kind of some instructions to hopefully minimize the pain that everybody is going to feel trying to get to and from work. First of all, just flat out avoid going through Minneapolis. If Minneapolis is not your final destination, don't go there. If you normally go east and west through, on 94 through Minneapolis, don't do it. Go on the north side, take 694, south side 494, or, 62 Crosstown. Do not go through Minneapolis. If you need to travel north or south through the Twin Cities, in other words, you're coming up from 35 to 35, say, between Albert Lea and Duluth, or Duluth and, whatever the case may be, when you get to the split, obviously take 35E through St. Paul. Do not go through Minneapolis. If you are traveling into downtown Minneapolis from the North Metro, take 35W south down to 280. That'll dump you out on 94, and you can go west into Minneapolis, or take 35W to west 694, and then you can come down 94 east, which of course runs south into downtown Minneapolis, or just flat out take 35E down and come west across 94. Stay out of the downtown area. It's necessary to do that. Also, because of the inability to get in from the north side, the Metro Transit has scheduled 25 extra buses that will be running from the north end into the city between 6 and 9 a.m., and they will also be beefing up, as they say, their buses heading out of the city in the evening. I'm going to quickly give you a list of the park and rides where you will find additional transit service in the morning. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, served by routes 850 and 852. Maplewood Mall, served by route 270. Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, served by routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue, County 81 in Brooklyn Center, served by routes 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, served by Route 260. Roseville City Hall and Grace Lutheran Church, served by Route 261. So please feel free to ride the bus, even if you ordinarily don't do that. Also, for those of you who have family members that are still unaccounted for, the Red Cross is attempting to help with that. If you're looking for someone, place a call and leave a message at 612-871-7676. That's 612-871-7676. You leave a message and a call will be returned to you by somebody representing the Red Cross. The latest information we have indicates that the University of Minnesota campus will be open for business, the Twin Cities campus, tomorrow. I guess that's today now, Thursday, August 2nd. All classes and operations will proceed as planned. For those of you who would like to do something, the Memorial Blood Center will be more than happy to take your donation of either blood or finances. You can call them between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. tomorrow, and you can do that by giving them a ring at 1-888-GIVE-BLD, 1-888-GIVE-BLD. All right, the latest update on the deaths and injuries, we have more than 50 people injured. We know that about at least 8 of them, possibly more, are critically injured. And we now do have confirmed 7 deaths. Channel 5 is reporting that the rescue effort, unfortunately, has now become a recovery effort, and I suspect that there are people unaccounted for.
Welcome to Lowe's. How
and that
help
the
you?
Death toll will be going up tomorrow, at least. That is the fear of people in the know. We are willing to break in periodically with information. If you can call us with information that may be pertinent to the bridge collapse situation, you can call the talk line at 651-646-8255. I will not give the outstate number because probably if you're outside the metro area, you don't have information. But, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Who knows what you might be learning out there given the Internet information that exists, 1-877-615-1500. I won't guarantee that you'll be put on the air, but there is an outside chance that that we'll do that. All right, we are now going to return to Channel 5 live reporting from the scene of this bridge collapse. I will be back again periodically with information for you that you need to know. Kenny Olson will be in at 4, starting to do his traffic updates then. And as we indicated, for those of you that are coast-to-coast fans with George Norrie, we do apologize, but one of the functions that a broadcaster performs is to keep people updated on catastrophic events and what is going on and what can be done to help the situation, and that's what we are doing here, and therefore Coast to Coast is preempted this evening right here at the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
In very trying situation.
Is the Minnesota Department of Transportation the primary body that inspects, oversees, and that will be involved in any kind of, a reconstruction of what's going on?
Well, as you know, there's a close working relationship between the Federal Highway Administration and there's a local office here and
okay.
the Minnesota DOT.
So they
work closely together.
Involved.
And I know the people at Hennepin County and Ramsey County, they're really competent bridge people there. So, you know, this will renew the discussion on funding, how much you can patch, how much you need to reconstruct. All of those issues will now come up again as they do whenever there's an incident like this.
And we're being told that the work done being done on this bridge today, patching, filling cracks, routine work, summertime work, no significant structural work. That goes on all the time.
Well, I remember when I was commissioner, the Wabasha Street Bridge in St. Paul was over 100 years old. It had a kind of a pin. It was news to me how that was constructed, and they said that time, if you get too much traffic on the bridge at any one time, vibration can cause a problem, or if somebody hits a pier, it can knock it over. So it's frightening, you know, to people. And you have to rely on people who are trained in the structural engineering field. So that's why I say, I think the public can know that MnDOT, and to answer your question specifically, we're in good hands with MnDOT. What they find here is another issue, but I'm sure you're not going to find incompetence on the part of mm-hmm. the bridge people. I mean, I know who they are, and they're very, very qualified. But what happens now in this whole process, I guess we'll have to find
out. 40-year-old
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Well, bridges can go a long time depending on what kind of maintenance it's had, what kind of repairs. You know, in traffic's increasing, as you know, 4 to 10% a year. The roads are getting clogged. There's heavier trucks today. There's vibration that causes these problems. Bridges get an overlay. It's like putting sometimes a Band-Aid on a cancer. You can only repair them so long until you have to replace them. So I don't know the specifics of this bridge, and as I said, when I got off the plane, I was shocked. I looked at the TV, and mm-hmm. I know just from actually what I've heard now.
It breaks your heart.
It's horrible.
Let's get another report then, if you don't mind staying here, Commissioner Levine. Let's take a look here. Go out to Bob McDaney, who is in Chopper 5. Bob.
Yeah, we just want to give you a perspective of how broad based this problem is going to be. Obviously, we've got the human tragedy on the ground, but this is going to be quite disruptive. We are over Rosedale right now, and what you're looking at is where MnDOT is closed. The 35W36 interchange as far east as Rosedale. So 35 all the way to downtown from here is closed. As you can see, there is traffic coming back from the north, but it is only coming about a mile or so. So basically the north and the east side of 35W is shut down, as you can see, and traffic is being routed to the north. So again, we're over in Rosedale. If you're in the east metro, this is as close as you're going to get to downtown Minneapolis along this particular interstate.
Sorry. Indeed, John? Hey, Bob, thanks. Again, we said it a little while ago, and it's apparent and obvious. This bridge is in the middle of everything. It is in the middle of it all. in the Twin Cities, and that is a real example of how this is the domino effect of what's happened here.
Joining us right now is former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine, and you mentioned traffic management is going to be an issue now because of exactly what has where it's happened.
Well, in my years being out of government, I've been involved in a lot of traffic issues, and in recent discussions over in San Francisco with security people there, they were telling us about some of the concerns they had if the Bay Bridge went down, or what happens to traffic. Well, mm-hmm. Here in the Twin Cities, every bridge is vital, obviously, and what will happen now is that traffic congestion will be a huge problem, because on the interstate system, we're pretty good. MnDOT has loop detectors implanted in the ground. There's sensors, there's cameras, there's ways to detect what kind of traffic is moving and how fast, where it's going, and so on. But there's no way to determine, because there aren't loop detectors, there aren't sensors on secondary roads and on arterial roads. So when people who normally use this road need to get from point A to point B and there's no bridge, they'll have to figure out, and MnDOT and the city of Minneapolis and others will have to figure out how they can get from here to there. And that's going to be a problem. And when you're reporting the traffic conditions in the morning on Channel 5, people are going to tune on and they're going to want to know, what is it like where I'm going? How do I get to University Avenue, or how do I get to? And it's going to be a huge problem, because there isn't a system in place here now to be able to determine that.
Yeah, but I would encourage people to go to our website at some point before your morning commute and find out what the alternatives are. You can pretty much imagine what the alternatives are, but it's a lot easier to look at it on a screen and map it out and figure out how long it might take you to get to where you need to go than for us to detail the roads, which we'll do. But then again, look at it in front of you and really map it out, because this bridge collapse is going to send ripples through the Twin Cities for months and months and months, if not years.
That, of course, was a replay of an earlier interview with former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine occurring just before 9 o'clock.
And we've been showing you tape of the scene, the S'more tape that was shot earlier, obviously before the sun went down, as the rescue efforts in the Mississippi River continued. It has now become a recovery effort with fire crews in the water trying to find victims. The fire chief saying that there are probably cars underneath the water, in the water, and underneath the bridge that they don't even know about yet. And it's going to be tough to find those cars when it's dark outside. What they're going to need to do is get situated. We've heard from the staging area where they are situated. They're getting ready to have a go at it overnight, but then more importantly, when the sun comes up, when there's some sunlight to work with, that's when the real recovery efforts, we think, will be starting. Tomorrow will be a very sad day in the Twin Cities. If it hasn't been sad enough already, watching this bridge that everyone uses, this bridge that everyone depends on, it literally becomes parts of people's lives. Watching it plunge into the water like this, and then tomorrow the news is not going to be any better.
And
or later today, I should say. It's after midnight.
And Hennepin County is going to be one of those entities that's going to be right in the center of this. Let's go to Beth Jett. She is with Hennepin County Commissioner Peter McLaughlin. Beth.
Yes, Cindy, a quick update before I go to the commissioner. One child just saw moments ago released from the hospital. That was a child who was on the bus, and his relatives saying he's okay. So some good news there. 28 people, you'll recall, were brought here, mostly adults, but some children as well. And the Hennepin County Commissioner Peter McLaughlin came here to thank the staff, basically, right, for the stellar job that they've done in handling this disaster.
Absolutely. I want to go ahead and talk to the emergency room staff, and I know what they went through and trying to make sure to clear the decks and make sure that they could respond adequately. And this is why we have a public hospital in place, is to make sure that we can respond when a disaster of this sort takes place. And they did a fabulous job, and they really served the people well.
You were saying the communication systems that they use have been in place for quite some time, that Minneapolis, or this Twin Cities, is leading the country in terms of communication to make sure a disaster like this works smoothly.
Well, it's communications and planning. You know, practice doesn't necessarily make perfect, but it sure does help. And I think we saw that tonight in terms of the communications. We've invested in the communication system so the police can talk to the fire, can talk to the ambulance driver, and then talk to the hospitals. We've actually practiced. We do tabletop exercises, they call it, but we've also done actual drills where we actually do it live on the street. You learn lessons when you do that, and those lessons come into play on a night like tonight, and it really has shown, I think.
Yeah. Now, Commissioner, you have not been down to the scene yet, but you've seen the pictures. Now, this is your district where it occurred, so what are your thoughts tonight?
Well, as a graduate of the University of Minnesota Graduate School, I mean, to have that bridge right there next to the campus go down, it's pretty stunning. And to see the the visuals of it are just amazing to see. But then you see that bus that could have gone into the river with those 60 kids, but it didn't. That's a miracle as far as I'm concerned. So I'm praying and hoping for the families and the people who were involved, and hoping that they can pull through as many as possible.
And, of course, plans already in the works in how to deal with this mess, unfortunately, that's revealed itself tomorrow. So what is tomorrow? Looking ahead, what can you tell us about the schedule for tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow there's going to be... They're planning right now for traffic, and if you want to consult the city webpage tomorrow morning early, I'm sure the networks are going to have, the TV is going to have some pictures as well about suggestions about where to go, but people are going to need to be patient because people are going to be finding their way. This is a huge artery of bringing people into downtown every morning and taking people out. There's no ball game. They've canceled the ball game tomorrow, which is a good thing, but people are going to have to find alternate routes. They're going to need to be patient as they do that, and the engineers are going to be doing the best they can to time the lights and move the traffic around as best they can, but we're going to need to be patient. This is going to take a couple years at least to replace that bridge.
And lastly, Commissioner, anyone that you knew on the bridge? Have you any relatives involved or friends involved on the bridge?
Not that I know of yet, and I've checked with my family here and friends as far as I can so far, but there hasn't been a list of victims released yet, but so far no one, thankfully, has been hurt in my family.
Hennepin County Commissioner Peter McLaughlin, thank you so much for joining us this late at night.
I wanted to thank those people at Hennepin County Medical Center. They've been a heck of a job today, and everybody else as well. Thank you.
And as you can imagine, John and Cindy, lots of prayers going on tonight, and that's something we wanted to share with you. Right over my shoulder, there's a couple of teenagers who came out here and camped out just to bring the power of prayer into the picture. They have no relatives here. They just felt the calling to come out and stake out right in front of the entrance to the hospital. Take a look at what they're doing. They have come armed with their Bibles, if you will, and they approach people as they can, being very respectful. They come from a church in Roseville called Communitas, and they got here, opened their Bibles, because they are deep believers in the power of prayer. Listen.
I felt a need to be right at the scene. I felt a need to be praying firsthand in front of those that were entering into the hospital and exiting, and to just give my time.
And, of course, she was saying that they've been providing comfort for those involved, praying for the healing, praying for the souls, praying for the rescuers who are out there looking for the lost. And she says, of course, throughout Minneapolis, there's a sort of a prayer chain going on amongst the Christian community to keep the Twin Cities in mind in terms of healing and moving forward with this and all coming together as a family. So, again, the good news, just about maybe 20 minutes ago, we saw a child being released from the hospital who was on that school bus and was okay. We hope to see more cases like that as the night progresses. We did see a woman, however, who shared with us that her sister is in an induced coma with a head injury, could be facing paralysis, won't know for 72 hours. She was in a vehicle with her husband and two teenage daughters when the vehicle fell, of course, with the bridge. And the two teenage daughters are at Hennepin County Medical Center, injuries to their backs, but otherwise okay. So, of course, you can imagine prayer is a big thing happening tonight all over the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. Back to you, John, Cindy.
All right, Beth Jett at Hennepin County Medical Center. One of the scenes where some of the injured people were taken. Another scene for the injured, Abbott Northwestern Hospital.
And we have Dr. Dan O'Loughlin on the phone with us right now. He treated patients tonight. Dr. O'Loughlin, you treated patients who were injured in the bridge mishap, right?
That is correct.
And tell us about the injuries that you saw tonight.
Mixture of cuts and scrapes, but also some broken bones as well.
Akin to injuries suffered, blunt force, car accidents, sudden impact, things like that.
Correct.
You know, Dr. O'Loughlin, the status of those patients right now, are they still hospitalized? Were any of them able to go home?
There were two that were hospitalized, and the rest were able to go home. Still seeing one that actually just arrived as a delayed arrival from the event.
We've heard that there's going to be the so-called walking wounded people that might trail into the hospitals after leaving the scene, although at this hour, 6 hours later, I would hope that those who were wounded and able to walk have found their way into some medical facility already. Are you still seeing some of these wounded people trickling in?
Just one so far, this late.
Tell us about the scene inside the hospital in the minutes after the first reports of the collapse, and then as the evening progressed, did you have a plan in place that you put into order to get ready for the influx of patients?
All the hospitals in the metro area have plans in place to jump into action when something like this happens. And we actually have worked together as a community to fine-tune those plans so we can help one another in these events as well. And so when the event happened, we started our response plan as we've practiced it, and mobilized our resources, got space made available in the emergency permits, so when people did arrive, we were ready for them. We had additional supplies and staff brought up and ready to go.
Doctor, can you tell us how it is that some patients went to Abbott Northwestern, how some went to Hennepin County Medical Center, some went to Fairview? What's the decision process that goes into place?
The emergency medical services people on the scene will make assessments as far as which patients need to be moved the most quickly and to what facilities that best have the resources to manage it. They will also take a look and see where the event is happening relative to these other facilities. Mm-hmm. And so they'll try and best match the resources and patients to the right areas. And then there will also be, as you guys mentioned earlier, the issue of the walking wounded that will also make their way into the various facilities, usually fairly close to where the event has happened.
Did you talk to any of the patients you treated, Doctor, about what happened, what they went through, and their recollection of what happened?
Yes. In fact, the one I'm working with right now was on the bus that fell, and she recalls in great detail how she was quite scared and how everybody was trying to get off the bus, and but she is impressed upon me how brave she is, and I was quite pleased to see her here because she was actually missing for a period of time, and I was working with her mother earlier this evening because the mother had arrived here shortly after the event happened, and we couldn't find her daughter in the area. Eventually, we were able to, some of our team here were able to help find where she was at, and then she came back over here for evaluation.
Well, that had to be a wonderful reunion when mother and daughter finally got together.
Well, it's nice to see Mom with a smile on her face. Yeah. She was smiling a few hours ago.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it sounds like you have two patients that are, is that what you said, that are remaining the night there?
I believe so.
All right. And their condition at this point?
I can't say. Not involved with the care directly right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Dan O'Loughlin from Abbott Northwestern, working with patients. In fact, he says one young patient who was on that school bus that we've seen so much of tonight, who came in a few hours after the fact.
Oh, boy. Put yourself into the shoes and the heart and the soul of that mom who was looking for her daughter who was on that school bus.
Yeah. There are a lot of connections made after the accident, just like that, but unfortunately, we're going to be hearing about some missed connections too, as the death toll, as the fire officials are telling us, the death toll is likely to go up.
We know that after the bridge collapsed, that there were people that were rushing to the area to see what happened, and to hopefully, I think in their minds, wanted to help out. Joe Mazin joins us with more on those stories.
Cindy and John, many couldn't believe what they were seeing, but no one could look away. We heard it over and over. It looked like a scene right out of the movies. Here's what we found about a mile from the accident earlier tonight. It's that view high above. People came here to this pedestrian bridge south of the accident to look, to see what exactly happened. It left some speechless. It brought others memories.
Kind of reminds me of a 9/11 type of feel to it.
It's sort of unreal that you see the cars just sitting there, like, collapsed, dropped.
It's terrible. I don't know how this could have happened. I've never seen anything quite like it in my life.
Many brought cameras here. We saw many people with cameras, with cell phones, trying to capture a moment in Twin Cities history.
It's just utter devastation.
Most of the people on this bridge live in this neighborhood. They came down here because they use that bridge every day to get to and from work.
I could have been on it. My family could have been on it. It's scary.
But you don't know if your friends who live around here are there over there, or it could be anyone you know.
I take that way sometimes. This time I happened to go through the city.
There was nothing people up here could do. They couldn't help, only watch. But some did the only thing they could think of. Amen. since this accident is making national news, many on that bridge received calls from loved ones in other states asking if they were okay. Live in the newsroom, Joe Mason, 5 Eyewitness News.
Joe, thanks.
Fair to say that actually we here in the newsroom called touch base back home to find out where our loved ones were. Let's go back now to downtown Minneapolis to Brad Satin. Brad?
Cindy, you know, earlier today I spoke to the fire chief a few hours ago at this point. He says in his 20-some-odd years he has never been involved locally with something like this. He says obviously there's a lot of focus right now on this bridge, but there is some real concern tonight about some other bridges. Obviously, this investigation is going to go on for months. It involves federal, state, and local officials, but one of the first orders of business, he says, is checking bridges downriver.
That is a concern, especially downriver. When you have a collapse like this, some of the material will flow downriver, and so they are looking at bridges downriver to make sure that the piers and those things are safe for operation.
The city of Minneapolis has 26 fire trucks. He said 22 of them were dispatched to the scene. That is almost unheard of. 22 of the 26. He says his crews will be back first thing in the morning at daylight, dawn. He says they are not certainly ruling out the possibility that others could be found alive. But certainly, he says, you know, as the clock ticks, that becomes less and less likely. Live in Minneapolis, Brad Satin, 5 Eyewitness News.
Thanks, Brad. Steve Shaw's in the newsroom now. And last we checked, Steve was at the staging area where a lot of the water rescue crews, water recovery crews now, unfortunately, were getting ready to get into the river and try to find victims. Steve?
John, rescue and salvage crews are working through the night to get ready for a long, difficult search tomorrow. King, Hennepin, Anoka, Dakota, and other counties are staging at the U behind the Wiseman Art Museum. They're planning a 6 a.m. briefing there before boats and dive teams head upstream to search for more wreckage and more people. Sarah Flake drove all the way from Coon Rapids to drop off food and water for some of the crews that will be working through the night.
I mean, everybody takes that way one way or another. You don't know who's on there.
You look like you're kind of in shock.
Well, yeah. This usually happens in, like, somewhere else. Or, you know, not here.
Another woman showed up with a couple sandwiches she got from Starbucks, and she showed up from South Minneapolis to give to these sheriff's deputies because she just wanted to do something. Steve Shaw, 5 Eyewitness News.
You know, that is, of course, the fact of the matter here is that we're seeing here hours on end, but rescue crews doing far, far more than that.
Yeah, and you add up a little things, one little thing after another, and it adds up to one big rescue and now, unfortunately, recovery effort. But you can't help but be impressed in the desperate minutes and hours after this first happened, shortly after 6 o'clock, hearing the stories, the eyewitness accounts of people who got out of a car, maybe just like that white car right there that is pointed at a 45-degree angle, got out of the car instead of running away and getting away from the scene. Maybe that person got out and tried to help someone else, like those kids on the bus or the driver of the UPS truck that we see laying on its side.
You know, and just a few minutes ago, we had an interview with Peter McLaughlin, Hennepin County Commissioner. This is his district where this happened. And he said that basically he wanted to be on the air right now to thank Hennepin County Emergency, City Emergency, State Emergency teams because the system worked. It may not end up with the ending that we like, but the system worked.
You know what else he said that I didn't mention yet, but I mean, he was the first one to say it tonight that really it resonated. He said it would take probably a couple of years to build the bridge again. A couple of years. Now, we know that. It's a huge project. A couple of years.
And again, we have to point out the obvious here because you take it for granted, but this is the interstate that runs smack up and down the middle of the country from north to south.
Mark Albert, part of our team of reporters bringing you coverage. Mark?
And John, as we've reported, there were construction crews on that bridge at the time of the collapse and also nearby. And after that collapse, some of those crews headed back in to try to help out, to try to find those people that may have been on that bridge and be part of that massive response. Now, those crews quickly worked with law enforcement there to seal off the ends of the bridge. You're seeing those barricades moved in there. They'll likely remain in place for quite some time, as you guys were just talking about. We also saw those rescue boats and crews heading to the scene from all angles. angles, really. And as the crews worked, hundreds stood on those overpasses and nearby roads, watching, really, as the disaster and, of course, the response unfolded.
Crumbled. We were sitting in our unit just hanging out in the office, and it sounded like a jet was going to hit our building or something. And then we looked around and we came out. My niece and nephew were like, oh my God, look at all the smoke.
I still think it could happen here, you know?
And again, really incredible to see all those hundreds and thousands of people really on the sides of the bridges and the roads coming out here to see what they could do. Some people saying, hey, I've been trained in CPR. I'm a medical student. I can help here. What can I do? Really an outpouring here at this bridge site. Back to you.
Yeah, Mark, we are extracting these stories.
Welcome to Lowe's. How may I help you?
Combing through this information and finding people who are telling us how they contributed, what they saw. Colleen Mahoney is live with somebody at Hennepin County Medical Center who did just that. Colleen, we understand you talked to a woman who had to help someone find a missing relative.
That's right. We just spoke with a woman here who went through the process of trying to find a person here. She came with a relative who was desperately searching for a loved one. She wouldn't go on camera, but she says once they walked through the door, they were immediately greeted by both chaplains here at the hospital as well as a group of nursing supervisors. It took just a few minutes for them to find out, make the connection between the family members, and get the loved ones to see their relatives that are here. The woman didn't want to appear on camera. She didn't want to get into details about her loved one and the relative and their situation or their condition at this time, but she wanted to make the point that she couldn't believe how incredibly professional the staff here was at the hospital in such a crisis situation. She said, you know, the people here are doing a really great job, and of course we want to share that with you as well. And you can tell that there's a lot of people out in the community that are willing to help. We're joined right now by Corey Fishman. Corey tells us that he was actually on the bridge and started taking people, rescuing them. Take us through what happened.
I come rolling up about round six when it really happened, and I seen like the collapsing and stuff when I was pulling up. And I seen, like, people screaming and yelling for assistance, so I ran over there, and I started pulling people out of their cars, telling them to get into safety. And after that, then the assistance came. There's a couple of sheriffs that come over there, then the state patrol, a few of them over there. And I told them, I said, they asked me what I was doing. I told them, I said, I'm employed for a medical team for Seven Clans, and I'm a head lifeguard out there.
You were on your way to a Twins game, yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. Describe where you were heading and what went through your mind when you saw it.
It was pretty shocking when I was there. It was pretty, well, I can't describe how it was. It was shocking. It's the first time I've seen something like that happen.
Why are you here tonight? Why did you come to the hospital?
I came here to check on the individuals that I helped, and they congratulated me for saving them. And there's a couple of people that's in pretty critical, and they're pretty well, pretty hurt bad, I should say. Well.
And hospital staff let you talk to them, or at least made contact with you?
Yeah, they made contact with me, and they gave me information saying that they were pretty well being treated pretty good. So.
Okay, Corey, thank you so much for your information tonight. Again, we just wanted.
All right, we're back to the talk station here, AM 1500 KSTP. It's 1233. You're not listening to Coast with George Norrie as we continue our live continuing coverage with five Eyewitness News as they are on the scene at the bridge collapse as well as various other venues where circumstances are being dealt with after this tragic situation developed here just about 6.5 hours ago now in the Twin Cities. Nancy Fox will join me at 1 o'clock when we do that update to get you just a little bit of additional information and some sound to summarize some of the things that have gone on. I think what's important for us is to make sure that we as citizens don't make problems that don't need to happen. And folks, the primary thing that can be done is as we get into the rush hour now, and we're, you know, about 5-6 hours from having the traffic ramp up as we start the workday, do not, under any circumstances, go through Minneapolis. If you have to go to Minneapolis to work or whatever, well, then you've got to find a way to get in there. But don't go through Minneapolis. If you normally travel east and west on 94 through downtown Minneapolis, you got to go north and use 694, 36. On the south side, you can use 494, possibly, 62 crosstown, depending upon where you're going to and from. Do not go through on 94 or any other freeway. If you are going from the southern part of the Twin Cities to the northern part of the Twin Cities and you're going through the split, you must take 35E, not 35W. And if you are coming into downtown, if you must come into downtown, use 35W south. If you're coming from the north side to 280, jump on 94 and then go west into downtown, or 35W to west 694. And then you can come down south on 94 east into downtown Minneapolis, or just flat out go ahead and get on 35E into downtown St. Paul and come west on 94 into downtown Minneapolis. In any event, avoid downtown Minneapolis at all costs. Additional buses will be run by the Metro Transit between 6 and 9 a.m. I'm going to very quickly give you the park and rides where you can get that additional or where the additional buses will be running. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, which is served by routes 850 and 852. Maplewood Mall, served by route 270. Northtown Shopping Center, served by routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue, County Road 81 and Brooklyn Center, served by routes 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, served by route 260. Roseville City Hall, Grace Lutheran Church, served by route 261. Also, you can get detailed information on this by going to metrotransit.org or by calling between 6:30 and 9 tomorrow. That's 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow, 612-373-3333. So do that if you possibly can. The Memorial Blood Bank says they could use your help, either with finances or through a blood donation, and you can arrange that between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. tomorrow by calling 1-888-GIVE-BLD. The University of Minnesota will remain open, the Twin Cities campus, for all operations and classes. And if you are looking for a loved one and would like to contact the Red Cross to see if they can help you out with that, leave a message for the Red Cross at 612-871-7676. Leave a message and someone will get back to you as soon as they possibly can. All right, the Minnesota Twins did play tonight, losing to the Kansas City Royals in what is clearly a trivial issue at this point, 5-3. The game tomorrow has been canceled. That was supposed to be a 12:10 start at the Metrodome. I'm sorry, I used the word canceled. That's wrong. It's been postponed. It will be played probably when the Kansas City Royals return for another series with the Twins. Also, the groundbreaking ceremony postponed. The Star Tribune is reporting, and these are the highest numbers I have seen so far. We at this point had confirmed 7 deaths, but the Star Tribune is now reporting a confirmed 9 dead, 60 injured, and 20 people still unaccounted for. So we are slowly narrowing down and kind of alerting the numbers that are out there. All right, I'll be back with a little bit more information from Nancy Fox coming up at 1 o'clock, but I now return you to 5 Eyewitness News continuing coverage of the 35W bridge collapse right here on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
At the height of rush hour, collapsing into the Mississippi River, carrying with it scores of cars, buses, vans, trucks, all just going in, plunging into the Mississippi River. 7 people are dead at last count. 60 others are injured, and now the search continues at this hour for any other victims who may be caught in the rubble. Let's take you in on what is happening right now at this moment. You see, this is I-35W. This bridge crosses the Mississippi River at about 6:05 at the height of rush hour. It collapses into the Mississippi River. You see that sign where it says University Avenue. Right past that, there is no more roadway. This bridge was built in 1967. It is a fairly old bridge. There was construction going on at this bridge at the time of this crash, but it was only surface type of minor repairs going on. At this time, there is no evidence it was a terrorist attack, but perhaps some engineering failure on this bridge. But right now, rescue crews are still searching for victims on the banks of the Mississippi River. We're seeing medevac helicopters flurrying about, which means there could be still victims being taken to nearby hospitals, but is a major catastrophe here in the Twin Cities.
Chris, do you have any clear idea yet as to the number of vehicles in totality that are either trapped on the bridge or indeed still in the water?
Martin, it is really hard to tell because this was bumper-to-bumper traffic going over this bridge. A lot of people were going home from work. Some people were coming into town for a Minnesota Twins baseball game. But right now, no word yet on how many cars may have taken that plunge, at least 50 cars. We understand there are still many, many still submerged. And with that rubble, you saw the video of that rubble, there's still feared that still people may be trapped inside that rubble. But as darkness falls here in the Twin Cities, that recovery and rescue effort is being dampened at this point.
Chris O'Connell, thank you. There are many questions tonight and so few answers, but bit by bit, a picture of just what happened this evening is starting to emerge. Here's Nightline's Chris Bury.
At the height of the evening rush hour, shortly after 6 o'clock, a center section of the busy 8-lane bridge, I-35 West in downtown Minneapolis, just gave way. It had been under construction. The first pictures gave a sense of the tragic scope. The first reporters on the scene conveyed the horror.
I've seen it with my own eyes, and I gotta tell you, it's the most awful thing I've ever seen.
Emergency officials said as many as 50 cars and trucks had plunged into the Mississippi River. Survivors and witnesses, some clearly shaken, gave vivid and terrifying accounts of what they'd seen.
There's cars in the water, there's a semi on fire, there's a school bus on the bridge. I don't know if it was filled with it. It's a mess.
My truck was completely face down, was pointing towards the ground, falling towards the ground, and my truck got ripped in half. When I got over my truck, it was folded in half, and I can't believe I'm alive. We're bumper-to-bumper traffic, probably going 10 miles an hour. The bridge started shaking, and the whole bridge from one end of the bridge to the other just completely collapsed. I thought I was dead. I literally thought I was dead.
I looked forward, and the bridge ahead of me was undulating, and I thought this could collapse too. I could go down. I kept going, and I made it.
Within the hour, boats and divers were in the water, at first attempting rescues, and then their efforts focused on recovering the bodies.
It is a recovery effort in the river, not a rescue effort, but a recovery effort.
A school bus leaned perilously close to the very edge. It had been carrying young children. But somehow, luckily, the bus had stopped just short of the point where the highway so abruptly ended.
Me and about two or three other men were actually taking the kids off of the bridge and, you know, actually lifting them down because, you know, the bridge was completely down and we had to, you know, have a couple of them jump, you know, because...
And the kids were what, screaming?
They were screaming, crying. At first, I didn't know what was happening. Dust just started coming up everywhere. And then I realized that the bridge is going down and it just fell all the way down.
On the smoldering bridge, a tractor trailer and other vehicles burned. Some were barely hanging on. Underneath the mangled metal and concrete, cars were crushed like tin cans.
Like the types of injuries are typical blunt type of injuries from motor vehicle trauma or fall, which means injuries to the head and face and extremities. The problem with these types of injuries is you don't know the extent of the internal injuries, and that's what we're determining right now.
Can you elaborate more on the cause of death?
We believe that the cause of death was a drowning.
Drowning.
And there may be more at the scene. I don't have information on the scene.
Hospital officials quickly activated their disaster plan, setting up triage for the many critically injured.
Hundreds of paramedics from around the Twin Cities. We have 100 paramedics here. Our nurses have all been alerted, 100 of them in the emergency department. Nurses from the critical care units. Our whole medical staff was notified.
The bridge downtown near the University of Minnesota was 500 feet long, constructed 40 years ago, the most heavily traveled bridge in the state.
Complete disaster. Everybody was completely shaken up. Cars were everywhere, front end smashed in, cars in the water. The entire center section of the bridge is just laying right across the Mississippi.
Some of the traffic was headed to the Metrodome, where the Minnesota Twins were set to host the Kansas City Royals. After a moment of silence, the game went on.
Up the middle.
Tonight, rescue workers toiled under difficult conditions as daylight faded and thunderstorms threatened. State officials confirmed the bridge had been inspected 3 years ago and given a clean bill of health. No sign of terrorism, said the head of Homeland Security. The National Transportation Safety Board promised a full investigation to find out what exactly went so horribly wrong. This is Chris Bury for Nightline in Washington.
The event.
And that was a replay from Nightline, which aired tonight on KSTP 5 Eyewitness News, which, of course, we have preempted because of our own live coverage. But you saw that the national story, the national repercussions of this story were quite dramatic and will continue for days to come.
And we'll continue our coverage right now by getting to Steve Shaw, who has been with rescue and recovery crews as they do their job tonight.
I'm praying for the people out there.
The bridge collapsed.
The look on this woman's face said it all.
All I saw was white, and it's just, there's cars in the water.
There's too many phones being used, and I can't.
The school bus on the bridge, I don't know if it was filled with it. It's a mess. You really got to go out.
Honey! Honey! This man was trying to get to his brother, who was one of the many injured being treated down below.
Well, our apartment just started shaking. We come out, and the bridge is down.
Some cars were, like, completely flattened, basically, and other cars were like, stuck in the water. You know what I mean? They fell off into the water, and they couldn't get out.
That man is a first aid responder who just happened to be in the area when it happened. He did all he could to get down there until other help arrived.
Some people were, like, you know, screaming for help. Other people were just kind of remained calm. And then, but it was nice. After about 20 minutes, like, there was a lot of people helping everybody to get them out of there.
Police were just as shocked as everybody else, but not too shocked to do their job.
That's crazy. Been on that bridge a million times. Chills, yeah. That's scary.
Daylight turned tonight.
Unreal.
But we're all going to be here for a while.
Mainly scared for the people because you could see, you know, people in the water. You could see people on the bridge. You could see people trapped in their cars.
We continue to try to piece together what happened out there, the physical side of this as well as the human side. The Star Tribune put together a graphic showing the bridge collapse. It shows how the bridge was snapped in two directions with the center section then landing into the river.
A man named Jacob Reynolds brought us some amazing pictures. He was on the scene just seconds after the bridge collapsed. These are pictures that he took with his digital camera. They capture the chaos and the emotion at the very start of this disaster.
Cars were exploding. There was, you know, popping, big, you know, explosions. And I just didn't know what was going to happen to those guys.
Reynolds took dozens of pictures, and we have posted them at KSTP.com.
And now, here's another map to give you perspective as to where the bridge is. This, of course, is one of the main routes into downtown Minneapolis, right by the Metrodome. The Twins game, which is scheduled for later tonight, that would be on August 2nd, has been postponed because of what happened.
There will be detours tomorrow. You can bet on that. And here's the map. It looks like one green box, doesn't it? But that's the way you're going to have to get around 35W. Take a look. Traffic will have to use Interstate 94. If you're heading north on 35W, that is always a major bottleneck. The other detour is Highway 280. No matter what, this will be a major delay, and it'll be a tough, tough rush hour tomorrow morning.
Let's go to Christy Peel. Christy, you were on the scene at the Holiday Inn and Seven Corners where there were efforts to get families some comfort and some assistance. Is that still where you are nearby right now?
It is, Cindy and John. It's been a difficult evening. All night here as more and more family go into the hotel. I just stepped out now, and I want to show you how things have changed here. Look at that scene just about a half an hour ago that was lit up with crews and the recovery effort. They've all stopped for the evening now. You can see it's awfully dark back there. Let me take you now inside the hotel and show you the scene in there. The Red Cross has opened a center for families who are still desperately searching for missing loved ones at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. Pastors and counselors are talking with those family members. More than 50, or between 20 and 50 different health professionals are on hand here. They've taken calls from over 100 family members, and more than 50 have stopped into the center. I talked with the pastor about what he's telling those people tonight.
Well, we put this a week at this time. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can say. There's nothing really that you, mostly you just listen. Obviously, on a day like today, people are not asking deep theological questions. They're asking more, why me? And so that's what the chaplain's down there trying to do.
Again, the center here is going to stay open until 2 a.m. It's going to shut down for the rest of the early hours of the morning and will reopen at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. They're compiling lists so that if you have anyone missing, you can come down here or call the American Red Cross. Then when they get word about your loved one, they can call you back and give you any information that they've learned. Coming up in just a little bit, you're going to hear from a woman who came down here to find out information about her brother and his girlfriend. It's an emotional story. People that we're seeing down here are just shocked. They're walking around just looking absolutely lost, and you're going to hear a really personal story coming up in just a little bit. Reporting live, Christy Peel, 5 Eyewitness News.
Thanks, Christy. I'll tell you, if you wanted to see some shocked faces earlier this evening as well, look at the face of Mayor Ryback and Governor Pawlenty as they address the public.
We got a lot of information from that gathering they had a few hours ago. Let's listen in and hear what they had to say.
Our hearts and our prayers go out tonight to the families and the friends of the victims of one of the most tragic nights in the history of Minneapolis. As we know by now, the bridge on 35W has collapsed. There are several known dead people as part of that. It's a very dynamic situation, and we'll be confirming more details as the night goes on. The incident is now in control, under the control of the Minneapolis Fire Department. Rocco Forte, our emergency preparedness commander, is in charge of that, using resources, significant resources, from the county, the state, and federal officials. We have significant resources on site. At this point, we have searched approximately 50 cars. We have confirmed 6 dead, and we are continuing the search. We have concern that this will be a very tragic night when it is over, and so we will be continuing our work. We will be returning in approximately an hour or two with more information on that, but there are several pieces of information we'd like your help in getting out as quickly as possible. First and foremost, because there's great concern, we want to make sure that those who urgently need to use their cell phones can. So we ask everyone to please make as little use of your cell phone as possible with respect for those who obviously need it quite desperately this evening. We also want to send a message to anyone who is in the Metrodome at the Twins game tonight that they are obviously safe, but we are sending them all down two streets, 4th and 6th Street, in the city. The light rail will also be operating, and so we want to make sure that as that crowd comes out tonight, that they move toward the downtown area, not toward the incident. We greatly appreciate the support of the citizens and staying away from the site because obviously we need to have our resources at full maximum at that point. So what I wanted to do now is turn it over to Chief Dolan to talk a bit more about the incident, to Governor Pawlenty, and then we'll turn to Ted Canova of the Red Cross. Chief?
Just tell you, at this point, all survivors that were on the bridge were off the bridge. We're also, as far as the construction workers are concerned, we've accounted for all the construction workers except for one. We have assistance from Red Cross and numerous other agencies, State Patrol, St. Paul, others. We have water rescue and recovery going on right now. We have the resources that we need at this time. Would also say that we are clearing out personnel from that area. Perimeter security is our main concern right now, and we are clearing out those areas. You'll see officers checking other bridges. That's just as a precaution. We don't believe at this time that we have anything other than a bridge collapse. I just want to add that right now that we did have a school bus full of youth. Those youth have been released to their parents, and we'll have information here about a site for family members that are concerned and where they can go, and we'll give that information a little bit later. That's it.
Thank you.
Obviously, this is a catastrophe of historic proportions for Minnesota. And right now, we are focused on making sure we do anything and everything to respond to the needs of those individuals who may have been harmed in this incident. And so the mayor described a command and control structure where the Minneapolis Fire Department has the lead in that regard, but they are being assisted by law enforcement and emergency responders from across the metro area, including federal officials, state officials, county officials. That includes law enforcement, includes firefighting, includes paramedics or EMSs, technicians. It includes the sheriff's office. It includes the DNR and various water resources. You saw a National Guard Black Hawk helicopter on the nearby bridge in case there were medevac needs or other needs that they could help with. So there is a substantial and massive response. I was on site earlier this evening and had a chance to visit and see the site. It is obviously a catastrophe, and first and foremost, we want to say to the families who are being impacted by this that our hearts and prayers are with you, but we also want to make sure that you know that we are doing everything we can to make sure that we respond as quickly as we can to the needs of this emergency. A couple of other just quick items, and then we'll turn it over to the Red Cross. First of all, I was on the phone with Secretary Peters from the Federal Transportation Authority. She's going to be here early tomorrow morning. She has pledged all of the federal government's resources and help, but we've received gestures from Speaker Pelosi and the congressional delegation that they stand by and are willing to help in any way possible. As to the bridge itself, it was built in 1967. It's a somewhat unique structure in the way that it was designed. It was inspected both in 2005 and 2006. There were no structural deficiencies identified in the bridge. According to MnDOT, there were some cosmetic or minor repair items that needed some attention, but no structural defects or deficits identified in the bridge. They notified us from an engineering standpoint the deck may have to be rehabilitated or replaced in 2020 or beyond, but no immediate or noted structural problems with the bridge. I should also note, however, that there was construction taking place on the bridge relating to concrete repair and rehabilitation and replacement, guardrail replacement, lighting replacement, and work on the joints. That was being done, started recently. It was scheduled to be completed in September of 2007. We also, of course, will be, once this initial response is conducted, we will also be working to deal with traffic issues and rebuilding issues, and we'll address that in more detail. But obviously, there's going to need to be a very dramatic rerouting of traffic and transit patterns, and we're already working on those plans through the Met Council and others to try to plan for those scenarios. But right now, we're focused on the rescue and recovery efforts, and I think right now we're going to hear from the Red Cross about a request that they have.
Thank you, Governor. It's been a very difficult night, as you can imagine. The Twin Cities Red Cross became the staging area for law enforcement officials, city officials. In the parking lot right now, it was transformed into a parking lot of 80 cars, into a parking lot with five command vehicles and two masts for communications, boats and police officers on horseback, all kinds of scenarios like that. Our hearts go out to all of the victims, everybody who was involved in this. The Red Cross was also the site that the 60 kids were taken from the school bus that you saw. Those 60 kids, a few of them had some injuries. Two may have been more severe than the other ones, but totally we believe up to 10 kids were transported to area hospitals out of the 60. In the moments that ensued after the kids were taken to the hospital, parents and family members were coming to the Red Cross down the hill right on the River Road.
And that was earlier tonight. The governor, the mayor, and police chief and the Red Cross talking about the situation as it stood. Still some information in there, quite relevant. However, the death toll has climbed from the 6 that the mayor talked about to 7. And the fire chief later told us and told everyone that he thought that death toll and the injury count would go up overnight.
We continue to maintain news crews around the scene, including Leah McLean. Leah?
Well, Cindy, the latest out here, if you can see behind me, again, it's dark, it's hard to see. A lot of the crews that we were showing you out on the bridge, the lights you saw out there earlier, many of those folks have gone home for the night. I just talked to Rich Stanek, Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek, who told me that the dive teams are done for the night. They're going to come back in the morning. The problem at this point, they say, it's a little dangerous at night to have some of these crews out here, so they have shut down a little of their operation. Although there's still plenty of personnel out on the bridge, they will continue their search efforts, but they scaled back a little bit. Again, dive teams out of the water right now. They plan to be back in the morning. And Rich Stanek told us that around 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, they're going to have some more updates for us. Of course, they're going to be regrouping as they look all night long. City officials, rescue officials, emergency officials who are out here, all going to be going over the things that they have found throughout the evening. And our crews have been here on the scene all night as well. You've heard just incredible stories from some of the people who were on the bridge, from the emergency crews who were there. It was about an hour ago or so that we saw some folks come out from the Red Cross, and they had a truck full of disaster relief, was what their truck said, and they were going right behind me and heading over there to bring bottles of water to the firefighters, bring some snacks out there. This has been going on for hours upon hours, and at this point, they're trying to not only find the people who are on the bridge, but also help the support crew who's out there, the rescue crews, try to give them a little bit of support as well. And we'll continue to stay out here and continue to keep an eye on this throughout the night as well. For now, reporting live in Minneapolis, Leah McClain, 5 Eyewitness News.